Today, households hit hard by the property crash. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, it started as an act of protest by fed-up apartment buyers in a single project in a city in central China. But now, tens of thousands of people around the country are withholding payments on their mortgages for homes that developers, including China Evergrande, have yet to finish. The movement has since spread to at least 301 projects in about 91 cities, according to figures from a crowdsourced document titled We Need Home. Tracking the extent of the protests actually has grown increasingly difficult after China began censoring in mid-July crowdsourced online documents, tallying the number of boycotts. Such shared files have been a key source of data for both global investors and researchers. Real estate accounts for about 78% of household wealth in China. That's double the US. And families typically save for years and borrow from friends and family to purchase a home. And as the Evergrande debacle unfolded last year, many market watchers said that the financial contagion would be limited by the fact that home buyers in China often pay in cash. But some did use mortgages, and the boycott underscores how much of the pain of the crisis has fallen on households in China. China's outstanding mortgages stood at around 38.3 trillion yuan at the end of 2021, according to the People's Bank of China. And GF Securities expects that up to 2 trillion yuan, or $296 billion of mortgages, could be impacted by the collective refusals. That's the total balance of the loans. The amount that could be withheld, of course, will be smaller. Should every buyer default, though, that would lead to around 388 billion yuan increase in non-performing loans, Jeffries Chan said. And banks say the impact is still much lower because lenders have detailed about 2.1 billion yuan of loans at risk from the protests, according to a tally of banks that have disclosed their exposures. The wildcat boycott on loans, which is about $296 billion, threatens to deepen China's real estate slump by shifting focus from the country's embattled property companies to its massive banks. Lenders have relied on mortgages as their safest source of revenue, as the COVID lockdowns stifle growth. China's deepening property bust is sending shockwaves through the 400 million strong middle class, upending the belief that real estate is a surefire way to build wealth. And now, as property developments stall across the country and house prices fall, many Chinese homeowners are slashing spending, postponing marriage and other life decisions, and in a growing number of cases, withholding those mortgage payments on unfinished homes. And a growing number of the nation's middle class, which has an estimated 70% of its collective wealth tied up in housing, are joining the wildcat actions to refuse payment, posing a threat to the economy and social stability. So Chinese authorities are now rushing to defuse the situation, with some proposing a grace period on loan payments and for local governments and banks to step in and rescue the developments. Construction halts may affect 4.7 trillion yuan worth of homes in China and up to 1.4 trillion yuan, or about 1.3% of the nation's gross domestic product. China's housing market is unique in the prevalence of new homes being sold before they're built, with mortgage payments starting immediately after initial deposit. This pre-sale cash helped fuel a housing boom by allowing developers to begin new projects. While halted real estate projects are not unheard of in China, the depth of the current turmoil is unprecedented. It comes as the economy slows after more than 2 years of rolling COVID lockdowns and a sweeping crackdown on the private sector in the name of common prosperity by President Xi Jinping. And that's pushed youth unemployment to record highs. Home prices have slid for 10 consecutive months, while disposable income per capita shrank for the fifth straight quarter at the end of June. It follows a debt boom over the past decade, which saw China's households' leverage rise to 61.6% of its gross domestic product at the end of 2021, from 27.8% at the end of 2011. Still, it's relatively low compared with major economies like the US and Japan. Hong Hao, a former China strategist at BoCom International Holdings, said the mortgage refusals will suppress house prices and sales, creating a negative wealth effect that will ripple through the economy. I don't think it's a good bet, Hong said of the property market. Many have gotten used to thinking home prices will never fall, but a paradigm shift is here. And Andy Z, a Shanghai-based independent economist, said the long property cycle had turned. The high and rising prices were justified on growth, i.e. one day income will catch up, Zay said. That is no more. In China, where disposable income per capita is just a fraction of that in the US, it often takes years of savings to afford an apartment, which normally costs a few million yuan in main urban centres. Young couples typically rely on parents and grandparents to help finance purchases, the so-called six wallets. Home buyers are also looking at legal remedies, particularly against banks. Several preceding court rulings were in favour of buyers, nullifying their home purchase contracts and ordering the developers to return down payments and to repay the remaining mortgages to the banks instead. One buyer of an Evergrande project in Henan has sued his bank after the project was halted last year and his lender failed to transfer the funds intended for construction into an escrow account. It's the escrow bank and developer that violates the laws. Why should home buyers pay the price? He said. But it's worth noting that not all people are willing to protest or pressure local governments. One who bought in 2021 bought in an Evergrande project in Zhejiang and has no plans to stop mortgage payments or to join protests for fear it could hurt his credit rating. He's confident the local government will ensure the project's completion. But many buyers, in particular the elderly, don't have the luxury to wait. One, a retiree in Zhejiang, couldn't qualify for a bank loan and use his life savings of about 800,000 yuan on an apartment with an elevator. He has made two visits to the construction site and found no sign of activity. The best we can hope for is that the government will fix it, they said, who lives on a pension of around 3,500 yuan a month. But let's be honest, even that seems like a forlorn hope. So policymakers are on alert. Financial regulators have urged banks to boost lending to builders to help finish the projects. And officials are even considering giving homeowners a grace period on payments. And one bank after another has assured investors that risks are controllable and their exposure to the delayed projects is small, even as a gauge of lenders' stocks declined. Shares and bonds of China's property companies have been dragged down as well, including those at some big players who have long been considered sheltered from sector's woes. If this trend is left unchecked and snowballs further, there is a risk that it could lead to a worsening of credit profiles for Chinese banks and chill the recent uptick in the real estate sales, said Shang Weileng, a macro strategist at DBS Bank. The point I want to make here, of course, is just how deeply connected the property sector is with the banking sector. And I'd also reflect on this, that we have the same structural problem here in Australia. With 64 to 65% of all lending from banks to the property sector, which of course is now going into reverse here too. So for me, the interesting question at home is to what extent and in what time frame will banks start feeling the pressures, and at what point will they have to be bailed out in some way, either below or above the waterline, to make sure that they don't fold? That, of course, is now the question of the moment, as property prices across the country here are beginning to turn south, and, of course, as bad debts are bound to rise ahead. I'd make the other point, though, of course, we don't have the same issue where borrowers pay mortgages before properties start. But nevertheless, many are still finding it's taking a long time to get started and they have to pay a lot more than they thought. And of course, as property values fall, the loan-to-value ratio changes and many people will now start to get into difficulty as mortgage rates also rise. So it is worth just thinking about to what extent what's happening over in China is an early lead indicator of what may happen here. We'll have to wait and see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.